Welcome to you, honourable members and commissioners. Once more, we want to welcome you into our meeting and the chairperson of the commission. Honourable members, before we start our meeting, can we quickly take a round of introductions so that we know who is in this meeting with us? You feel very comfortable to talk, to people you know who they are, unlike talking to strangers that you don't know. My name is Dorothea Modibe, chairperson of the Portfolio Committee.
My name is Mundu Mumalo, member of the committee.
Oh, good morning, everyone. My name is Grace Tsege, the member of the committee.
Morning, everyone. My name is Peterson Majuna, a member of this committee. Thank you.
Emma Morris, member of committee.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Kekezo Maema, Commission for Gender Equality.
Morning, honorable members and the chairperson. My name is Mpano Zerishuzi from the Commission for Gender Equality.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Togo Mpumlwana. I'm the deputy chair of CGE. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Moshadi Putu, CFO, Commission for Gender Equality.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is John Clerk, Head of Department of Public Education Information.
Morning, members. My name is Tao Rapo, also from the Commission for Gender Equality.
Morning, members. My name is Melissa Mbatan. I'm the committee secretary. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Kashfa Abrams, Content Advisor to the committee.
Good morning, I'm Lorenzo Whitefield, and I'm a researcher to this committee.
Sorry, can you hear? My name is Louise, I'm from Amnesty International.
My name is Louise Camodi, I'm a researcher for Amnesty International.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lindy Wamakunga. I'm a PhD candidate at Vitz University, and my research is on Parliament.
Morning, everyone. My name is Megan Lisi, and I'm a monitor from PMG.
Good morning, Louis Engels. I'm Jessica Levino, Research Committee.
Good morning. My name is Sam Smith. I'm a researcher for the Democratic Alliance.
Good morning, Sean Mitchell, committee assistant.
Thank you very much. I think we can now open our meeting. This morning we are going to be getting a briefing from the CGE on their first quarter report. I must say that even though we are going to be getting this report of the CGE, we have met with them, and we were very impressed, as to what we experienced when we met with the CGE, in as far as, where they were. Before they came up with a turnaround strategy. And I must say that, every member who was present was actually, very happy, to see how CGE is operating and where it is operating from and how, and also the environment in which they were operating. It's a very conducive environment which actually impressed all of us. Can we, do we have any apologies?
Yes, thank you, Chair. We have apologies from Honorable Diemu, Paul Se, Lake, Elizo, Honorable Honorable Lamola, and Honorable Dichetelo. They are, some of them are off sick, other, some of them are attending other meetings. Thank you.
Who's off sick?
Oh, Honorable Lamola, she has been booked off from Metharisi. Also Honorable Kake, Honorable Pose also indicated that she's not well. Honorable Fanda Merva is attending PC on communication. And Honorable Dichatelo, she's attending, yes, attending other meetings. She's not going to be in yet. Thanks.
Thank you for those apologies. And as a committee, I think we have this tradition of sending, you know, our, you know, thoughts to those who are sick, especially those who are hospitalized, and I think we should continue doing that. Thank you, Honourable Members. With those few words that I would like to head over to the CGE. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members of Parliament, our guests. We really appreciated the visit by the Portfolio Committee, the first of its kind in terms of actually ensuring that they sit with us for 2 days, which, and also learned a lot from the committee. Chair, as much as you know, it's August month, and there were so many activities, and we knew that you could not even ask for postponement, because when your process asks you how high should you jump, you just jump higher than what they ask you to jump. So that's why we're here. That's why you can really see that our dedication is very thin. We have a committee deputy chair and myself, and our commissioners must approach us on their behalf. There is a public hearing on employment equity in Johannesburg, and is reported slightly in the newspapers. It's continuing today. That's why the 6 commissioners are not here. Host, Mkoko, Hicks, Doedan, and Mapaz. I'm leaving one out. It's supposed to be 8. And Commissioner Nale. Yes. So, Chair, we are presenting this within the framework, the context of the first quarter. First quarter, Chair, is always a quarter where we are busy with fine-tuning our own plans at the beginning of April, making sure that they speak to the mandate of the Commission, and then also to try and actually make sure that the first quarter is also in beauty by us finalizing the last, the previous financial year, preparing financial statements and so on. It's also about preparing reports for the previous quarter and us making sure that you plan for the forthcoming year as well. But in the midst of all that, the commission, the commissioners have held various meetings to try and actually see that what the secretary is going to present is exactly what the CGE Act requires of us to do. And in the midst of all that, the commissioners have met and then staff with various stakeholders, including religious sectors, provincial legislatures, NGOs, and the South African Local Government Association, and other partners to try and actually engage them on the activities of the Commission for Gender Equality. And also in terms of that as well, the other activities that we did that were interventionistic in nature, where we're intervening in a number of issues around sometimes helping with training in maternity, making sure that we deal with Kutwala, the underage marriages and so on, policy dialogues as well. And I think the commissioners have been doing that, and also in plenary and in other internal CG committees as well, we're able to fine-tune some of these issues that I've actually spoken about. So for us, in the last quarter, as commissioners and staff, we felt that the policy dialogues, the preparation of the annual performance plan, but also carrying out the activities, was also very, very paramount. And commissioners have been hard at work to ensure that our plans and our activities speak to exactly what the Commission for Gender Equality requires to actually do. I'm not going to go to the mandate, the person of the Commission, and we always do that, and I'll just ask the CEO to actually give us the presentation of the first quarter. And, yeah, so I think those are the issues, Chairperson. I thank you very much for also asking us to come in account because it's always important. You see what you see in the General Commission because we know that you're accountable to Parliament. Parliament is holding us and we need to actually make sure that you do things according to the book so that at least the gender equality agenda will be fulfilled. Thank you very much. I will hand over to a CEO to actually give us the first presentation, which is going to be about our own activities of the Commission, and also the CFO is going to come later to actually try and link what the CEO has presented in relation to how we've actually spent the money in relation to the activities of the Commission. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning once again, Honourable Members. I have outlined my presentation to deal with activities that have taken place in this in the first quarter of this current financial year, and in terms of the index page, I'll start by looking into the work that was undertaken by the research unit. Then I will get into legal, public education. And then at the end, I've got a table. Really, the reason for the table is because that table is the annual performance plan that we lodged with this Parliament, that we presented to this Parliament in April. And therefore, I thought it would be best as well to try and capture some of the information that I would have spoken to in the slides. I've also tried to put that information just to show progress so that it's clear from the APP that we lodged with Parliament, and then it would make sense in terms of the work that we did for the first quarter. I won't dwell much. I think the Chair has already indicated that, for this first quarter, there are quite a number of processes that get undertaken, and the quarter coincides with us going through a regularity audit that is taken by the Auditor General of South Africa, and in line with that, we prepare annual financial statements and the draft annual report just before the audit commences, and that gets lodged with the AG and also the National Treasury. Just to also indicate, the first quarter is normally characterized by us now putting processes in place to ensure that the work or the activities that we have put for ourselves for the year take place. If you look into the research unit, there are specific research reports or projects that we had put for ourselves for current financial year. As indicated previously when we were engaging on the annual performance plan, we've got the gender focal persons research project. And just by way of background, remember in the previous year when we undertook or we were undertaking the employment equity hearings that are still continuing, it became very clear that as the Commission we needed to look into the positions of the gender focal persons, so that's why we are undertaking that report. The gender barometer is our normal year in project that we deal with. It's a web-based instrument that we put two government departments, provincial and local, just to gauge and check how they are doing in terms of gender mainstreaming. And we have the monitoring of the Gender-Based Violence Council this year. All these years we've been monitoring the implementation of the 365 action plan, and therefore seeing that this year that particular plan is now under auspices of Women's Ministry under the Gender-Based Violence Council, that we decided to then focus then on the workings of the council, especially taking into account that they have indicated that they will be reviewing the plan and going through all the other processes. So that's what we'll be focusing on. And then just like last year, we still have policy briefs and dialogues that we are working on. In terms of the gender focal persons research, we are evaluating the performance and effectiveness of these positions. And for the period under review, we sat in our planning and we decided to identify 10 departments that will be participating on this particular project. And the scope includes both national and provincial departments. So we've highlighted that from we've got five national departments, and then we've got five provincial departments. We've identified sports, arts and culture, transport, basic education, tourism, economic planning and development, and then we then took almost similar departments from provincial level, and also included human settlement. For this particular quarter, the work that the researchers were working on was more around doing some desktop research, getting some reviews of policies on these provisions, and the reason for gathering all that data is to then allow the department to put together an instrument or a tool that will be used, or that will then start rolling out in the second quarter. It's always better that we start looking at policies that are in place and all that, so that we know that we are able to ask the correct question, the right questions. And that's what we'll start doing in the next quarter. We'll then be taking, of course, the questionnaires and engaging and really working on gathering data. We've got the gender barometer. As we indicated even in the previous presentation, the gender barometer is an online tool that is designed to monitor and evaluate gender mainstreaming within the public sector. This is the third phase of this. This is the third leg of us utilizing the tool. And as we had indicated previously, I mean, because the tool was new, there were quite a number of teething problems, and we worked in this quarter as well to try and ensure that it gets aligned. There were issues, and the tool was too long, and which is why, as we were going back to our stakeholders to try and find out why we were not getting, you know, the kind of responses that we wanted. In some instances, we would receive a tool that is not fully completed right to the end. And as we are engaging with the stakeholders that are supposed to be completing this tool, we realized that we needed to really revise and revamp it. So that's the work that we did to revise and revamp for this particular quarter that has just ended. And then we then also decided and on the departments that the tool is going to be focusing on this particular year. And we've highlighted Department of Science and Technology as an important department for this year to look at. And nine provincial departments of communities and safety have also been selected. So that's where this year we are going to be concentrating on. We are in the process of training the specific personnel within the department. We always, right from the beginning, when we have selected the department, then we go to them and we engage to try and train them, to show them what needs to be done and how the tool could be completed so that they don't have problems as and when they are running with the process of giving information through the tool. For monitoring of GBV Council, as I indicated, really the study is intending to monitor and track work of the council. Remember, when we started this process, because we are planning for a five-year horizon, we wanted to ensure that we monitor and we evaluate how implementation of the plan is going on a yearly basis. But this year we've had to then tweak our process a bit with the knowledge that the plan is now under the Gender-Based Violence Council, and the knowledge that they had indicated even in the previous financial year towards the end that they will be working towards tweaking and reviewing the national plan itself. So we really are going to be looking into the processes that the GBV Council is going to be undertaking, you know, together with checking how they are reviewing the plan itself, just to see whether it's taken into account as well some of the recommendations that we've done. Remember, we've done two reports already on the plan. And for the period under review, we compiled background information just to check to say what are the strategic plans of the council itself, what are the kind of activities that they will be undertaking or dealing with for this current financial year. And we then have also requested, in as much as our commissioners are sitting there on an observer status, but we've also requested that one of our researchers must be able to accompany the commissioner that sits there as an observer, so that they form part and parcel of the processes and the meetings when they take place, so that we can get further insight in terms of what transpires, and we have access to the meetings and the proceedings of the council. So far, we've had one meeting where we've attended a meeting that was taking place in this particular quarter. In terms of policy briefs, we had indicated to this particular committee that as the commission we felt that some of our research documents are not being fully utilized, especially by the departments that we evaluate and we monitor. And we then came up with this process to say we must be able, first and foremost, to draft what we call policy briefs on the research report that we have produced in the last financial year. So in the last financial year, we had the education report, we had three victims charter reports. Remember, victims charter, we were doing two departments per year, and now we have finalized it. Therefore, we are going to go back and look into all the three reports of the different departments under the victims charter obligations, and then we'll then draft a policy brief, and we'll do the same for gender barometer. So for this current quarter, what we then did was to come up with a policy brief, which is something like this thing that I have here. It is really to highlight the recommendations and the findings in a more simpler way, because we've really seen that it's very difficult for policymakers to be able to go through the thick research reports, and we tried to come up with something that at least gives the facts, the work that we've done, and highlights the key findings and recommendations in a four-page, six-page document, and then engage and request that they give, we get to dialogue with them. We attend meetings with them, and we are planning now to have dialogues for this quarter. We were working on producing the policy briefs, working on coming up with these policy briefs, and then in the now coming quarter, we'll now be engaging and trying to get dates in terms of when we can be able to hold the dialogues with the policymakers in the different departments with a view to ensure that the findings of the previous research work and related reports are disseminated to them, and ensuring that at least the Commission for Gender Equality is able to a greater extent influence decision-making processes to ensure that gender equality is attained. For the period as well, we started with the education and policy dialogues. The first thing that we needed to do for the quarter was to draft the different policy briefs, and then we were able to then undertake eight dialogues that were based specifically on the education report. And that's just by way of mention in terms of the activities that we undertook for the research department. Legal department, we've got quite a number of processes that we undertake. We look into complaints. We ensure that we input into any legislation that passes through a parliament, in some instances even engaging with the South African Law Reform Commission and all that. And for this particular quarter, there were quite a number of processes. We've had about 11 submissions that were made to a number of different legislations or bills that were put forward, and all that we do is to try as much as possible to interrogate the bills from a gender equality point of view and be able to put a submission and lodge it with this parliament as well. For the current, for the quarter that we are looking at, when you look at the statistics in terms of complaints that we have received, I must say we have had an increase for this particular quarter. We have had new 245 cases just for this specific quarter, and the table that I've highlighted there just indicates, the nature of complaints that we've been receiving and which provinces we have been receiving what complaints. Under litigation for the quarter, we've had three matters. We've got the Thomas and Thomas and Hardy and Reich and Shofa and Singh. That's the matters that we dealt with for the quarter that are still under litigation. I know that many times people want to understand and say, why are you dealing with divorce matters? More often than not, you find that we start with a complaint that maybe is a domestic violence matter, and then it ends up, going into divorce processes. And we normally would also want to be part of those processes to ensure that the settlement agreements that are reached through that processes are actually taking into account gender issues. We've monitored 16 courts nationally, and for the first quarter. And these courts, we looked into. If you look into our APP, we specifically wanted to look at the workings or the family courts, you know, maintenance, your domestic violence, and the equality courts, just to see how their processes are going. And also because many a times we get quite a number of maintenance cases where women are not getting joy. In some instances, we do get men where they don't get joy when it comes to issues of maintenance in some of these courts. So we do try and monitor and ensure that their processes are properly going. For this current financial year, as we had indicated, we're now going to also be holding quite a number of legal clinics per quarter. In this particular quarter, nationally, we've held 24 legal clinics, and I've tried to highlight the places or the areas by province where some of these legal clinics took place. So in the next slide, there is a table that really tries to highlight which specific cases, where are the areas that we've had some of these legal clinics. Under legal as well, we do the work of monitoring our international instruments. But what we normally try and do to ensure that because we have one legal person for each province, we try as much as possible to form working groups when we look into monitoring international instruments. And therefore, we take people from all the departments. And because the work there in terms of monitoring, yes, there are legal instruments, but also there's a little bit of research work that needs to be done. So we got CEDAW, we got Beijing and MPGs. And we now have finalized the draft report for all the three instruments. And really, this period of this first quarter, we were really trying to go back because we find that, you know, many times we never get, you know, from the responses that we need or the kind of responses that we want. So we also utilized this particular quarter to sit on departments, to go back, to engage with FOSAD just to see those departments that have not as yet responded, to ensure that we get the responses. The reporting period for all these instruments is 2015, and by that time we need, as the Commission, to at least have our own solid report so that we will be able, by the time the country puts a report together, we will be able to see what is in those reports and whether what they are putting forth is what we also found on the ground. In terms of Public Education and Information Department, they've been running a series of interventions like dialogues, seminars, and information sharing sessions. For this particular financial year, if members would remember, we have tried to have work in teams, tried to have a specific matter that we are looking at just for the quarter. So for this quarter that has passed, we are looking specifically at gender-based violence in schools. So we came up with a concept document that was going to guide the activities that the provincial offices were going to undertake, and we requested officers to engage at least 5 schools in their own provinces. Obviously, they will look at how they are structured and what their issues are, and really the key things that we wanted them to look at or engage with during this process or intervention was to look at issues around teenage pregnancy and bullying in schools. We also had, during this quarter, we launched our position paper on sex work, and really the position paper we have presented before, that our position of the Commission is to push for decriminalization of sex work, looking into account quite a number of complaints that we have around this area and the fact that the current legislative framework is not really helping. And on the 16th of May, then we went out and we were able to then have an official launch of this paper to engage with the different stakeholders on it and what, you know, background in terms of what has informed our position as a Commission. We are also focusing to try and have education programs with different houses of traditional leaders and even the religious sector. So we've held quite a number of different meetings with provincial houses of traditional leaders and the religious sector to have discussions around how we formalize our working relations, what are the issues that they feel that we should be addressing when we go into their respective communities. And so we have quite different varying issues depending on province by province, where we are trying to say we will sign MOUs or we will sign terms of reference with the different houses of traditional leaders, even leaders within the religious sector, just to engage and say what are the kind of things that we need to be working on. We have some of the MOUs have already been signed. Some are still outstanding, various meetings that have happened. We've had quite a number in KZN. We have drafted and we have engaged with Ashembe, and in Western Cape here we've got some processes undergoing with some traditional leaders as well, and even in the Northern Cape. But in other provinces we still haven't signed those. We've only engaged in various meetings to try and ensure that then we get to agree on what needs to be going into those and what are the kind of processes that we should engage on our programs. We have previously indicated that we are in partnership with NDI South Africa on the assessment of women's political participation and representation. This is a research that comes from the last financial year, and then it will be carrying on up until the point where we then get to engage and check the different manifestos and all that of different parties just before we go into elections. So we for this particular quarter, letters were sent to all the different political parties trying to share the purpose of the study. The parties that were approached are the Big Five, and in some instances we have been able to have meetings, to hold meetings. In some we have some parties have indicated that they don't want to participate. And some we are still hoping to get responses in terms of the letter so that we can be in a position to share the purpose and what we want to achieve with that particular process. The parties approached were ANC, COP, UDM, and IFP. The DA still hasn't responded to our request for a meeting. We are still hoping that we will get that. We have met with the IFP, as they have now indicated that they do not want to. They had initially in our meeting indicated that they will participate, but now they've indicated that they are no longer going to participate on the study. We've had one focus group already taking place here at the Western Cape, and the focus groups are continuing. Yesterday we had one in Northwest, so further group meetings will be taking place. We have two focus groups in each province. We meet with the councillors or party leaders, as it were, and we also then meet with communities as well. We as indicated in the last financial year, we had an agreement or an engagement with SABC3, where they did a promo for us that was aired during 15 days, and they actually did that for free. And then we have been having a series of meetings with them to try and engage with them on programs that will take place that have common interest with us. We also wanted, to one, try and ensure that we infuse gender and gender equality issues in their programs. We're looking into content, but also we wanted to just have an idea of which areas we can be able to collaborate on. We've had quite a series of meetings for this particular quarter. We've also, as indicated, one of our targets this year was to target the National Community Radio Forum, because in the past, we get involved in interviews with community radio stations where we share our mandate, our processes and all that, and we do that on a regular basis. But as indicated when we were presenting our APP, we're now trying to ensure that these programs at least are properly designed, that we don't do it on an ad hoc basis with a specific community radio station. And so we have embarked on an education radio program, which we want to ensure that, you know, we engage for a long period of time, and we have engaged the NCRF, and we have now drafted an MOU out of all the meetings that we've had previously, and they are now looking into it, and hopefully in the coming 2 weeks or so, they would have signed so that we can then be in a position to start rolling out our processes. Just to highlight, in terms of, just to highlight in a nutshell, you know, the kind of activities that have been taking place or the issues that we see coming out of the different provinces, tried to put it in just a few different themes. We've seen issues around initiation schools. That's what quite a number of our provinces were dealing with. For this quarter, there's been quite a number of botched initiations, and these deaths were rife in Mpumalanga, they were rife in Northern Cape, and those specific offices have been really working towards meeting and engaging with the different stakeholders that are concerned. For instance, in Mpumalanga, we had a meeting with the NEC health there, that side, to try and engage and see what are the kind of things that we can do. And of course, these are also some of the issues that we discuss when we engage with the household of traditional leaders as well. We've seen issues around forced marriages or underage marriages. KZN has been dealing with this, but we saw in the last quarter also Mpumalanga coming into the fore on some of these issues, and we were able to intervene, and we are still going on with that specific case where a 57-year-old was cohabiting with a 15-year-old. The case was even held last week Friday. The perpetrator was able to get bail that was set for 2,000 rands, I think. So those are some of the processes that we're still dealing with, that we're engaging with. We've had a gender mainstreaming workshop. We see, as we are engaging in our employment equity hearings, that more and more municipalities are coming forward to request us to help them, to say how much we couch our policies, what is it that we must do to ensure that we comply. And in the last quarter, we held a training from Bombela Municipality on gender mainstreaming, just to give them a guideline of what needs to be done and what is the process that they need to follow in order to ensure that they comply. Of course, we are still continuing in the Eastern Cape, for instance, to run quite a number of processes in collaboration with our C9. And we try and use the first quarter as well as a time to meet and share our respective annual performance plans and see what kind of activities are of mutual interest that we can then be in a position to share them with. And that, now that brings us really to almost the end of the presentation. Just to highlight, I put this table as a table that really shows, it's a table that comes directly from the APP that we lost with this committee and parliament, and really it's just to show progress on one by one activity to say what are the kind of things that we are doing in terms of some of the things that we wanted to do. We will still want to engage, you know, Parliament on our national report, for instance, that on the employment equity. We've been holding some secondary hearings, for instance. There were hearings that were held in the last quarter of the last financial year. And, you know, when you look into those specific issues, you find that there were some delinquents, there were some departments that did not show up, or did not give proper information that we wanted, and therefore we would then set further dates to say they must come and appear and account, which is the process that is actually happening, that happened yesterday and is happening today. And so the list goes on, and I just wanted to highlight it just to ensure that we do have that table put with Parliament that specifically highlights who has done what, where the progress is, but really the activities there are, in a nutshell, what we've just I've just highlighted in the in the in the preceding slide. Thank you.
Through you, Chairman, I'm not sure we'll allow the CFO just to briefly present on the spending of the first quarter.
I think we will agree that they take us through all their briefings and note down our comments and questions, and then we'll come back after their all their presentations. We are in agreement with that. Thank you. Yes, you can proceed.
Presentation is going to be very brief. The presentation will mirror the presentation by the CEO on the activities that were undertaken in the period from 1 April 2013 up to the end of June 2013. That is a three-month period. As it has been indicated, during this period there have been less activities undertaken from the APP. Most of the activities that were undertaken were activities to do with the initial planning for to roll out the activities as highlighted in the APP, and there have also been quite a number of administrative activities that include the reporting, annual reporting, dealing with the auditors. Most of the activities within the Commission were centered around those administrative responsibilities. The presentation will be constituted of, just running through our allocation for the period, just giving members an understanding as to what constitutes our budget, how it's structured, and I will as well deal with the spending activities, where we'll be doing some analysis, some number crunching. We'll also speak about the general CGE financial status, the state of health, financial health of the organization. And we will also speak about some of the issues that are intended to be done in future periods. As a way of introduction, this presentation is done in the interest of transparency and duty to of accountability by institution. I think the city is no exception. We are accountable to this house, and therefore the presentation and the information given will be effectively to meet those responsibilities. So without reiterating, we'll deal with financial performance, that is spending and spending activities for the period, and we'll also deal with some other financial management matters. If you allow me, I may have got to take the house back to our budget. We have had a budget presentation early in the year. However, for the interest of sharing information, I'm reiterating how our budget is structured. Effectively, our budget or the way we approach our programs, we've got three main sub-programs which are for commissioner governance and support. We've got a sub-program on corporate support, and then we do have the main service delivery program.
The budget allocation for the period for the financial year 2013-2014 came to a total amount of 63.1 million. That has been approved by Parliament and allocated by National Treasury. Of that 63 million, the budget has been spread across the three programs. 10.7 million for the consumer program, which is 17% of the overall budget. Corporate support consumes 32%, and the main service delivery program consumes over 50% of the overall allocation. And when one looks into the nature of the type of expenditure that have been provided for in the budget, the compensation of employees, salaries for all staff and commissioners, remuneration totals 71% of the total. There's rationality to that fact, in a sense that the type of work that we are doing, we reliant upon professionals, lawyers, educators, and researchers. Another measurable element of expenditure is on professional services. We do, as we are executing our mandate, we do have litigation responsibilities, and under professional services, we'll have mandatory, you know, expenditure such as audit fees. So that consumes around 5% of the overall allocation. Travel and accommodation, 11% of the total, because we are a national department with a presence in provincial locations, there will be a necessity anyway. I mean, to travel in between offices, there's a necessity as well to travel to our stakeholders who are grassroots communities and the like, and therefore it goes without saying that there will be a measurable amount of spending or travel. We do research work and produce reports, quite a number of reports, quite a number of research activities have been undertaken, and then therefore production of reports, meaning things like printing paper, producing reports, getting professional services to have the glossy reports that can be lodged and shared with members of the public. That also consumes a quite measurable amount of resources, which in this budget are estimated to be 3% of the total. Telecommunication courier services as well explained by the fact that we are national and then with provincial presence as well. If one looks into the overall budget, one will also know that those above mentioned elements in the budget makes up 94% of the overall budget. And then effectively there's a 6% which has been left variable in the dark control of management or of the commission, basically. There's less flexibility in the budget. Much money is locked into fixed expenditure such as remuneration. And therefore, I think we have dealt with the details when we are discussing or when the commission presented the budget. And this situation has been the case historically. We'll see in the slides that follow, has been the case. The structure and nature has been constant historically.